Well, good morning. This morning we are beginning a new sermon series on joy. And you might be thinking, because I'm thinking it myself, that joy might seem like an odd choice. Joy seems odd with all that is going on around us. A new terror attack occurs somewhere in the world seemingly every week. An attempted military coup in Turkey a few weeks ago. Multiple attacks on police, resulting in the murder of police officers, and multiple shootings by police of unarmed African American men. And that's just the world out there, let alone our own lives, our own homes, our own relationships, our own headspace. The world, more than ever, seems like it is falling apart, exploding in on itself. And you want to talk about joy? I do. You see, 8 weeks ago when Pastor Chad asked me what I'd like to preach on while he was away, Pastor Al Guerra had just preached here on John 15. And that is a passage where we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And hearing Jesus' words, I thought to myself, joy. Of all things, Jesus wants us to have joy. But what is that? What is joy? And to be honest, I didn't have a good answer to my own question. So I said, perfect. Let's preach on that. So joy it is. And 8 weeks later, I still do want to talk about joy and discover with you what it is, that our joy may be full. In fact, I would offer that in times precisely such as times like we find ourselves now, this is what we need to seek, joy. But the question remains, what is it? And in what or in whom do we seek it? And to begin to address these questions, we will turn over the next 5 weeks to God's story and how the whole of God's story in creation, in fall in Israel, in Christ, in church, and in new creation, how this beautiful and true story gives meaning to the joy that we seek. And this morning, we begin at the beginning with the story of God in creation. Our passage this morning is Genesis 1:26 to chapter 2, verse 3. And you can follow along in your order of worship or in the Bible if you have one with you. Let's read together. This is Genesis 1, verses 26 to 2-3. "Then God said, 'Let us make man, humankind, in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth. And every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come before you this morning seeking joy, and yet in many ways not really knowing what we're seeking after. So teach us. move by your Spirit in us through your word that we might encounter you in Christ, and that we might know the truth of your grace and the hope that we have in you, that our joy may be full. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as a way to enter into the story of creation, I thought we'd begin by singing together. You know that I love singing, so much so that I try to find a way to sing in every sermon that I preach. But I know that you love singing too, and I too often have robbed you of that opportunity to sing. So I thought, let's sing together. And if singing in a sermon is not strange enough for you, I'd like us to sing Joy to the World. Yes, a Christmas carol in July in a really hot gym. We know it well enough, so let's sing together. We'll sing the first two verses, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. All right, let's sing together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Thank you, that was lovely. But why are we singing a Christmas carol in July? Well, because Joy to the World is not a Christmas carol. Well, it is, but it isn't. You see, Isaac Watts wrote this hymn based off of Psalm 98. And Psalm 98 is not a Christmas psalm. It is a psalm that invites us to sing to the Lord a new song, to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to break forth into joyous song. And it is not just us that the psalmist invites to sing. All of creation is invited to join in. Fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains are also invited to repeat the sounds of our joy. A joy that is for the whole world, the whole earth. And in what or in whom are we and all of creation to find joy? Our King who is Jesus. We are invited to find joy in Jesus as King. And here is what I want us to see. Jesus' kingship does not begin with the incarnation at his advent. Jesus comes to us already as King. Let earth receive her King. And here we find Jesus is King eternal, which means it is not in Matthew 1 where we first encounter Jesus as King, but in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The Word speaks and creates. The image the author of Genesis 1 is painting for us is that of our Creator, the Word, as King, establishing his kingdom. A king speaks, and whatever the king says happens. That's how kings work. And our Creator King delights in what the king sees. We could say that the king's creation brings the king joy. God saw that the light was good. And the king continues to speak and to make and to enjoy waters and dry land, and it was good. Vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, and it was good. Lights in the expanse of the heavens, and it was good. Waters swarming with living creatures and birds flying above the earth, and it was good. Livestock and creeping things and the beasts of the earth, and God saw that it was good. The Word, Jesus, our King, creates and sees all that he makes, and he calls it good. And it is here where I think we are beginning to dance around what joy really means, to delight in what is good. Joy is to delight in what is good. The Hebrew word that is translated good is tov. And tov can be translated in a variety of ways, good, but also pleasant and pleasing, desirable, beautiful, in order, right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was beautiful. It was pleasing, in order. Creation was whole. There was shalom. And God delighted in it. The king's creation brought the king joy. And here's the remarkable twist in our passage. The king sought to share what brought him joy, that which was good, with us. You see, after making the livestock and the creeping things and the beasts of the earth, we read in verse 26, then God said, let us make humankind, Adam, in our image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. To be made in the image of God means human beings are to point to the King who made us. To be the Creator King's image bearer means to point to the King who made us in the way that we rule, the way that we have dominion over the creation that the King gave us. And what we so need to see in our passage this morning is that our King, whom we image, delights, finds joy in the King's creation. And we, as the King's image bearers, are too invited to find joy in the King's creation. After creating human beings, God looked at everything that he had made. And it was very good. Very good. The king looks at everything he makes and he calls it very good. Not just tov, but tov meod. Our Creator King delights in his creation and invites us to delight in this very good and beautiful and pleasing creation as well. Everything. All things. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers and authorities. All things were created by him and for him. And this is so important for us to see because it can change the way we see everything. All, everything becomes a gift. Creation. The very things our Creator King calls good becomes gifts in which we are invited to delight and find joy. Our families, our relationships, they're gifts. Our work, our city, our neighborhood are gifts. The sun and the stars, the mountains, our gardens, our trees, The grass in our front yards, the river in our backyards, our gifts, our homes, food, flavors and spices, our gifts, the heat in this gym, well, we'll call it a gift. All is gift. And Jesus, our Creator King, is the creator of all and invites us to find joy in all. One author that I've been reading over the past few weeks in his book, Rejoicing in Christ, identifies the importance of this truth in this way. Sadly, so many Christians have a background virus in their understanding of the gospel. It's not easy to spot, but it eats away at all of their confidence in Christ, and it is this: the sneaking suspicion that while Jesus is a savior, he's not really the creator of all. So they sing of his love on a Sunday, and there it is true, but walking home through the streets, past the people and the places where real life goes on, they don't feel it is Christ's world. Jesus is reduced to being little more than a comforting nibble of spiritual chocolate, an imaginary friend who saves souls, but not much else. Maybe this statement resonates with you. Maybe sometimes, if you're at all like me, you struggle with seeing the intersection between real life and Christ's world, Christ's kingdom. And the struggle I would offer exists because not all seems well. All may have been good in the beginning, but not all is good now. The world is a mess. We are all a mess. And we'd be right. We are broken, and we live in a broken world. Which is all the more reason, then, to cling to the good news of great joy, which is for all peoples. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. The creator of all is the savior of all. The Apostle Paul's hymn in Colossians 1, 19 and 20 goes this way: for in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, that's Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth, whether in heaven, making peace. That's shalom. Setting things right, making things tov meod again. And how? Through the blood of the cross, Paul sings. We are broken, and we live in a broken world. But we are broken image bearers being made new again in Christ, so that the joy that is in Christ, the King's delight in what is good, that joy may be in us, so that our joy, our delight in what is good may be full. As broken image bearers of our Creator King, we are invited once again to point to our Creator and the joy and delight that Jesus, our King, has for his creation. And I would offer this means we need to learn how to see again. We need to learn to see that all is gift. We need to learn to see beauty again, to see tov again. How do we see our work, our homes, our city and our neighborhood, our relationships, others? What would happen if we began to intentionally practice seeing all as gift, actually naming things as gifts? I often learn this practice from my little kids. Lily loves and delights in sticks and dirt. She calls them good and thinks they are gifts to play with. I do not, but they are. Kenya cannot walk by a flower without stopping and saying pretty, which makes for really long walks. Dirt and stopping every few feet are not efficient. And we live in a world that demands efficiency, urgency. Seeing and paying attention to good, noticing and naming things as gift, not only means I need to learn how to see, but that I need to lift up my head and open my eyes. This does not mean that seeing and noticing cannot occur in the midst of what are hectic lives. It merely means we need to live in the midst of those spaces with our eyes wide open, wherever we find ourselves. But I do see sometimes, and what I see is often not good. Not all is gift. Violence is not a gift. Cancer is not a gift. Hatred and fear are not gifts. Death is not a gift. No, these are not gifts, and no, are they good. And God does enter us and give us a gift of lament, a gift that we will wade into next week as we look at fall in Israel. And yet, while all might be broken, we need to learn to see all things through the redemptive work of Christ, who is our creator of all and our savior of all. Emerson Jones, who is Dorcas's son, one of the kids at the church, he has a collection of items that he tells me about, and he calls them beautiful uglies. It's a collection of all these discarded items, all of these items that all of us would call garbage. Emerson reclaims them, reuses them, delights in them, and calls them beautiful. His beautiful uglies. It's a beautiful image. Not only do we need, then, to learn how to see again, we need to learn how to respond to what we see with the love of Christ. Seeking its good, seeking its flourishing and its welfare. And I would offer that in living this way, in seeing what is good and seeking what is good, that we will find great delight and joy. For this joy is the joy of our Creator and of our Savior. You see, our Creator King saw all that He made and He called it very good. And our Savior King, it was for the joy set before Him. The joy of seeing things made right again, seeing things good, that He endured the cross. Jesus, our Creator, is our Savior who reigns and who delights in what is good. May we delight in the joy of Christ. And may our joy be full, so that all of heaven and nature may sing and repeat our sounding joy. Repeat our sounding joy. Repeat, repeat our sounding joy. Amen. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for how Your word, who is Christ, invites us into seeing as You see. That You are the God who sees. That You see us. And You love us. So much so that for the joy set before you, you entered into our brokenness that we might have life. Lord God, we pray that you would fill us with this sort of love and joy. A joy for all that you have made, that we too would seek after its good, pointing to the King who made us and in whose image we bear. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.